everyone. Welcome to the October 10th City Council meeting. As always, we start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Ken, you were out of town last night. Why don't you start with the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Ken. Okay, next we have the roll call, please.
Coke.
Here.
Transier.
Here.
Plocher.
Here.
Soling.
Here.
Funkhauser.
Here.
Merrick is absent. Terulis.
Here.
Cornels.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Next, we have no amendments to the agenda. We have no presentations. Nor do we have public hearings. Do we have any citizens commenting on anything on the agenda? Anyone?
There's none on Zoom.
If you want to speak now, that's fine.
Okay.
And state your name, please.
Yeah. I'm Scott Osborne. I'm the developer behind the Bristol Ridge Solar Project. Based on my last presentation here before the City Council, we chose to withdraw the Northern Prospect. It's a highly visible there along Cannonball Trail, so we thought that would be worth it to pull that project away and just withdraw the application for it altogether. The southern site we like significantly better. It's less desirable for residential development because of its proximity to the railroad tracks, the large ComEd substation and high voltage power lines there. Our layout, as it currently is designed, this we believe is the final rendition of the design, has panels no closer than 890 feet from the back of the Bristol Tap parking lot. So it's almost 900 feet back there to where we would place the closest panels to the tap. That's also slightly more than 600 feet from the home of Roberto Velasquez, who owns the farmhouse parcel there on the east side of Cannonball Trail. For the fencing, we've settled on the west side a 8-foot wooden privacy fence like what you have over by the county courthouse. The vegetative screening that we had designed to help reduce the visibility, we're able to shift that around location-wise. We think it's probably best to place that right next to the fence. It just helps reduce the visibility of the project from anyone driving by or living nearby. So those are the items that the changes that we've made based on our discussions here with the city. And I really appreciate you considering the project and hopefully allowing us to move forward. Thank you.
Thank you. And we will actually, in just a couple moments, have a motion on this and open up the discussion with council.
I had one other thing to add, if I may.
Yeah, step to the mic, please.
There was a question about the benefits of the community. It's our standard practice to make a donations to local charities. For each one of these projects, we have budgeted approximately $20,000 per site. There are programs not directly managed by the city, but under the city's purview. Scholarship programs for the library that we really like, and we intend to target those donations to the library to help the children in Yorkville.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And again, we'll have a motion here in just a moment. Okay, on to the consent agenda. We have bills totaling $1,021,838.75. Is there a motion and a second?
Motion.
Second.
Seaver and Craig, roll call, please.
Coke.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Terulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Cornels.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Next, we have the tax levy estimate.
Does this need to be a motion or not?
Yes.
It does, okay.
Oh, thank you.
I'm looking for a motion to approve the tax levy estimate for 2023, for the tax year of 2023, to be collected in 2024, for $5,073,005. Is there a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Plochert?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Cornelius?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, next we're to the PCC 2023-02 and EDC 2023-22, the Bristol Ridge Solar 105. Now there are four motions. The first one needs six votes, correct?
Correct.
And they're on the sheet here.
Okay, well, we're going to do them separately because some need six, or one needs six,
yeah,
and the other need five. So this time, I'm looking for a motion to approve an ordinance approving the first amendment to the annexation agreement for a portion of the Bristol Ridge subdivision, Daniel B. Light, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
So moved.
Plochert. Second. Cornelius. This one needs six votes. Are there any questions, comments? Ken?
So you mentioned the donations. How are you going to work that out? Because I don't see nothing in the packet about it. Reaching out to staff, or
right,
how you going forward with that?
Bart and I spoke about this briefly. We didn't go into a whole lot of detail on it. We're aware of certain programs that are managed under the library. We don't want to give the appearance of something dishonest or quid pro quo or something like that. We don't want to do that. We're not trying to buy anybody's bill on this. So we do want to donate to programs that are having greatest impact on the community. And that's our standard everywhere. It's handed down from our boss, from our company owner and founder, who said we're giving away $20,000 or so in each community where we're working, per project. If we have a way to do that directly through the library, I think that's probably a good path forward. But we are committed to those donations.
And you have done that in other communities?
Oh, Michelle knows all about this.
Hi, I'm Michelle Carpenter. I'm the Vice President of Development at Turning Point Energy. So, I mean, we as a company do this on every single project. We have an entire web page in our company that shows, according to every single project we work on, the organizations that we partner with in those communities. It's typically guided by the people who live in those communities. We don't live here. We don't know the best organizations. These are the organizations that we've heard of to date. We put out a press release when we entered the state of Illinois where we committed to doing this. Our company has a goal of, I believe, $1 million over the course of the next 2 to 3 years. We've already hit, I believe it's something like $750,000 of that. Just because as a company, this is our philosophy, that for every project we do this, we believe in developing projects that the community wants to see. We believe in developing projects that, you know, along with the community, and we want to solicit feedback from the community on how we can help contribute. So it's a commitment that we put in writing for press release. It's a commitment that we can, you know, make as we're standing here, that, you know, we have done this, and we've referred you to, you know, a number of the organizations we've partnered with on other projects.
Any other questions?
In the packet, it talked about, as the last time, when my concerns was about glare. Yeah, the packet stated that you were pretty much down to 0% glare. Can you explain to me how you're able to achieve that?
Yes. All the calculations are done by a detailed software package that tracks the sun's movement across the sky, the panels is perpendicular to the sun as it crosses the sky, and looks at how the light might bounce off those panels. So if the panel was straight vertical, the sunlight could hit the panel and reflect back down to the ground. So the panels at their resting angle, first thing in the morning, last thing at night, are gonna be set 5%, 5 degrees off. So if the sunlight were to hit that panel, it's not gonna reflect back down to the ground. And the software we use is called Clareforge?
Forge Solar.
Forge Solar.
It does all the math for us. It's an industry-wide standard. It's used by all the solar developers that I'm aware of. And they haven't had any concerns about it. The plantings, the existing trees, that helps as well. And we took, I think it was about a dozen different points, including Cannonball Trail and Galena Road and the railroad tracks, even at about 12-foot driver height for the train, to look and see if it would identify a point of reception of any such glare from those positions. They came back saying, we don't have a problem with any of those, and the software seems to be very well vetted, and I haven't heard any of it being wrong. Does that help?
It sure does.
Thanks.
Other questions?
It was run on our end, and it was run by our civil engineer as well. So we had two sets of eyes looking at it to make sure that we weren't doing something wrong.
Yeah, and that was a licensed Illinois civil engineer, so someone who's not an employee of Turning Point Energy, but an independent site civil engineer.
Other questions? This is the first portion. This requires 6 votes. Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Nay.
Tarulis?
Nay.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
We have 5 yes, 2 no. So,
yes.
Mayor is voting yes. So, motion carries.
Okay, that's motion A. So now we need to do motion B. Now the next 3 require 5 votes, is that correct? Christy?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Just want to be clear. The next is a motion to approve an ordinance approving the rezoning to the A1 Ag Zoning District of certain territory generally located east of Campbell Trail and north of the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad Line, Bristol Ridge 105 Solar Farm, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute. Looking for a motion and a second.
So moved.
Second.
Transier and Plocher. Any discussion on this point? Roll call, please.
Tarulis?
Nay.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Nay.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Next is a motion to approve an ordinance granting a freestanding solar energy systems clearance variance for the property generally located east of Cannonball Trail and north of the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad Line, Bristol Ridge 105 Solar Farm, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute. Looking for a motion and a second.
So moved.
Soling? Second by Plocher, was it? Any discussion? Roll call.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Nay.
Motion carries.
Thank you. And finally, on this, we have a motion to approve an ordinance approving a special use for the property generally located east of Cannonball Trail, north of the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad Line, Bristol Ridge 105 Solar Farm, and authorizing mayor and city clerk to execute. Is there a motion and a second?
So.
Soling, and I think I heard, was it Plocher again?
Yeah.
Okay, any discussion on this? Roll call, please.
Soling?
Aye.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Nay.
Transier?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Okay. We are on to, I appreciate everyone's support on that, on the Public Works Committee report. Is there a Public Works Committee report? Oh, was he on the plan? Oh, that's right. Okay. Is there anything to report?
No.
No? Okay. EDC report.
No report.
Public safety report.
No report.
Admin committee report. Nothing.
Matt.
Well, that's Matt.
Oh, yeah.
Who's public works? That's you.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no report there.
No report.
Okay. We took care of both of them. You make up for a lost meeting. Park board. Tim DeGeneres.
Yeah, just a couple of reports, Mr. Mayor. It's hard to believe, but Halloween is just around the corner. We do have our annual Halloween A-Con costume contest on Friday, October 20th. It'll start about 6:30 p.m. at Town Square. The next day on Saturday, October 21st, is the Yorkville Chamber of Visbu event. And then just a reminder to everyone, Monday, October 31st is Trick or Treat. The Trick or Treating hours is from 4 to 7 in Yorkville.
Excellent. And I'm wearing one of our fine Halloween shirts. This is the purple version. For those who are colorblind, this is purple. Very nice. They are available. And you'll see the final Halloween shirt at the next meeting. Very appropriate as we get closer to Dia de los Muertos. Excellent. And your Oktoberfest, Chris, you want to talk about that at all? That was packed.
Yeah, we had a fantastic weekend for Oktoberfest downtown, Kiwanis Club with the city. Absolutely wonderful. Great turnout, great weather. It was our largest year ever. We're still finalizing revenues, so we don't have that to report out yet, but just fantastic. It's great that the community came out. One of the things that we've seen with pretty much any event in Yorkville is we have growing pains. You know, venues are limited size, but I think we're kind of tapping the high-end capacity of that location, so we're going to have to see what we can do to keep it growing, but not creating issues. It was a great weekend.
It was. Absolutely, it was great. Super, super turnout. And staff did a great job setting up and cleaning up, too.
Yeah, and any way to support the Kiwanis, I mean, they did, obviously, most of the work, so they did a great job with
it. Yeah, it was a good time. And I saw, Jim, you were there, too. You had staff there as well?
Weekend.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, you weren't there all weekend.
Yeah, Friday's there.
Yeah. Well, you were there. Just, you went to bed early.
It was great.
Yeah, it was packed. But everyone was well-behaved. So good. Excellent. Thank you. Okay. Planning and Zoning Commission, Christy?
No report.
You're getting warmed up for later, though, right? City Council report, anyone? City Clerk report?
No report.
Community and liaison reports?
The only thing I have is YDSB did receive their IEPA permits to continue their expansion, and they're going to start taking the footings for their new buildings.
That's exciting. How long do they expect that? That'd be, what, three-year project, probably?
A three-year project.
That's a huge project.
And they're I think, can be up and running on the UV disinfection building now. It's actually, when they do an open house, you get a chance to see it. It's pretty interesting, pretty neat.
Well, I get a sunburn in my head if I go through there?
Yeah, I don't look at it directly.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay, staff report.
No further reports.
Mayor's report. The first item is the Unified Development Ordinance, or UDO presentation. We should say number, what is this, like number 3, I think, Christy? For us. For us.
Yeah.
Number 500 or something. For, yes.
2.5.
So as I said last time, and Ken, you weren't here last meeting, we're breaking this down in different sections. Christy had a real nice presentation last time. If you get a chance, she can get that to you. Or if you have questions, ask her. Good presentation. We're going to break this down different chunks. We're not looking to vote on this tonight. I've said that before. We'll have some more discussion, and it will be abundantly clear ahead of time when we're looking to have a vote, because we're looking for feedback from everyone here. So, and I know the committee spent, what was it again, Chris, with COVID, 3 years in this, probably?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it went to PZC for a couple meetings, or Planning Commission, I should say, and... So we're not going to push as fast, but we want to break it off in chunks. So, Christy, take it away.
Yeah. Christy Noble, Community Development Director for the City of Yorkville. Now, let's get slides. Well, start, but I can start by telling you that the mayor mentioned the last meeting I was here. I talked basically about overview of all the chapters, all 9 chapters of the UDO. This is more of a focused discussion. We're going to be looking at the summary recommendations from all the review committees that looked at the UDO over the past 3 years, and then dive a little bit deeper into ADUs, which are accessory dwelling units, and our signage. So as I mentioned, we did go through several committees to review the UDO document, but we've received feedback from City Council the August 8th meeting when we talked about density. The UDO held their final meeting the end of August. EDC got a preview of the chapters at their September 5th meeting. And then, as the mayor mentioned, planning and zoning commission held a public hearing on September 13th. We also had an open house, which is an open up there, the same night that we had the UDO final committee meeting on August 31st. And then city council had their initial review of the overall document last meeting, September 26th. And today we are looking at ADUs and signage, as I said, but kind of diving a little deeper into the recommendations that each reviewing body had on the document. So we're going to start right here with chapter two. I know it's a lot of information there, so I'll try to go through it for you. Chapter two had its first comments when we reviewed the beginning part of the UDO back in 2019. So we went over about 350 individual terms that were used in various sections of all of the development documents in the city. And out of all those 350 terms, one that came up as something that each committee reviewed individually and made a recommendation on was the term family dwelling unit, dwelling unit. So our current regulations defines a single or family dwelling unit, if you can see that, I cannot, but it specifically talks about users, whereas the definition that the UDO recommends focuses on the use, that it's a single structure, including single unit dwellings, townhome dwellings, duplex dwellings, and it gives a more broader and general terminology. So the UDO Advisory Committee had recommended to retain the term family dwelling unit, and the Planning and Zoning Committee actually recommended using dwelling unit. So we're looking for City Council feedback. So tonight we're not looking for that feedback now. You can kind of ruminate on this. We're just going over the concepts. So the idea is that you can contemplate when the UDO is brought forward to you for a vote. And again, you will be voting on the Planning and Zoning Committee recommendations, but I wanted you to be aware and possibly take into consideration the UDO Advisory Committee recommendations. The next chapter that we looked at was in regards to density. We kind of addressed this, as you can see at the bottom, in our City Council meeting on August 8th. The current regulations, the draft UDO, and the Planning and Zoning Committee all have the same recommendations for our R1 and R2 density. So we're keeping them as they currently exist. The Advisory Committee had recommendations to kind of revise the R1 and R2 standards for the lot size and the lot width, as well as creating a new district called the R2A. So again, that's something for, kind of went over that in depth, I think, in August. So that's just one of the other chapters that had left open a decision for the City Council to make. The next chapter is chapter four, use standards. What's interesting about chapter four is that the city currently doesn't permit accessory dwelling units. This is where we get into, and we'll define that in the next slide, but this is where we get into the discussion that I was asked to do a little bit more in-depth review over. So there's an asterisk, if you can see, right next to sentence four.
It's just getting washed out.
It's getting washed out. Okay. So that's all right. So current regulation says not permitted accessory dwelling units. There's an asterisk, we'll get to that later. But the draft UDO says, all right, let's allow accessory dwelling units in the ag district, the R1, the R2, the R2D, and the R3 districts, just outright permitted. And they would be allowed to be attached, detached. We'll go on a little bit more in depth in that. The UDO committee said, well, we want to have them outright permitted as well, but the Planning and Zoning Committee decided the attached units should be outright permitted, whereas the detached units should be special uses. So that's something that the City Council will need to contemplate. But to go into it further, this is what an accessory dwelling unit. Basically, it is three different types. You've got the interior attached, which will be an attic apartment or basement apartment. You've got the attached, which is basically an addition, and then you have the detached, which would be a standalone dwelling unit. So our code, as we propose in the UDO, has five key points to it. One, an accessory dwelling unit would only be allowed one per lot, 900 square feet, regardless if it's attached or detached, rear of the lot location, even if it's attached, you have to be in the rear. No separate mailbox, utility service meters, and has to have similar character as the primary structure. All these things are to regulate and to anticipate where the accessory dwelling unit would be on site to make it as less impactful to the neighborhood as possible. And you see examples to the left of where some permitted locations of accessory dwelling units are. Not scary, it's not a new concept. We've seen accessory dwelling units sometimes in some of your familiar places. Here's some famous ADU dwellers, the Happy Days. Say Fonzie, he had a detached over a garage. Full house, Uncle Jesse had the attic apartment, I think. And then Mayor Tyler Moore also had an attic apartment. Snoopy probably wouldn't fit this category, but it was a detached structure in a lot, and he lived there. That's all an accessory dwelling unit. These are what our typical accessory dwelling units would look like if they were permitted in Yorkville, similar to a shed in some cases, a nice addition that you wouldn't even know the difference in the lower left. And then you have the above garage, very nice detached structure that does not impact the neighborhood or the lot itself very much. So I had told you about the asterisk from the previous slide. Well, our current zoning ordinance does anticipate accessory dwelling units. In this chart, which is in our current ordinance, in our off-street parking, it says accessory dwelling units should have one parking space per dwelling unit. But the problem is there's no other place in our zoning ordinance that regulates the use standards. So we just don't have the applicability to allow an accessory dwelling unit in any location on a site. We in the UDO talk about accessory commercial units, which are the same as accessory dwelling units in its regulation, but it's more for those home occupations that can't fit their businesses or don't want to have their businesses within the structure. This is another opportunity for less impact in the residence and the neighborhood, but to allow for accessory uses. This particular commercial unit would be a special use though. Chapter 5 talks about, as we get into current regulations for off-street parking, we're just talking about off-street parking for accessory dwelling units. This talks about off-street parking for our residential units. So off-street parking now has a minimum of 2 spaces per residential type land use. And then you have the senior housing, which has 0.5. The UDO is recommending 1 as the minimum. Not that you have to have only 1, but 1 would be the minimum. The advisory committee is recommending 2 parking spaces per unit, and 1.25 for townhomes. And the Planning and Zoning Commission also agrees with the recommendation of the UDO advisory committee. And basically what we're saying is, do you want an opportunity to allow one car garage and developments, probably the market will dictate this, but at least allow, have that flexibility to allow one car garage versus requiring a minimum of 2 car garages. Simple as that. That's what the recommendations boil down to. So we went through chapters 2 through 5 actually, and chapter 6 is more in depth and talks about signs. So I was asked to kind of do an overview of the signs regulations that we're proposing for the UDO as well, and talk about one of the items that came up as a recommendation from the PCC and UDO committee. Again, signs for the district, our goal was to graphically support all of our regulations. Some of our regulations are ubiquitous in how they read, and it's not clear even to staff. Sometimes we have to go over and reread. This is supported by graphics so that it's easily understood by the public as well as those actually enforcing the ordinance. the content is neutral in regards to signs to meet the new requirements versus Gilbert. Thank you. Reed versus Gilbert in 2015 case. And then the goal was to improve the quality of signs without limiting options for businesses. So we're looking to allow different types of signage, different materials, but also streamlining some of those procedures for approval. These are some examples of the graphics that will be in the document. So what are the benefits to businesses? Well, there's a variety of sign-based materials I mentioned. Here are some examples of what the proposed regulations could permit. Larger monument signs for higher quality materials. Downtown businesses are allowed off-premise signage now. More area for permitted banners. So there's an example down the lower right-hand side. Increased signs for electric message boards and creation of a comprehensive signage plan. So a comprehensive signage plan would allow a probably a similar to a PUD process, but they would come in with all types of signage that they're proposing for their site and get one review by staff and an approval by staff. And then all they would have to do over the course of time, they don't have to do all the signs at one time, is get a permit for each of the signs as they go along. And we would have a consistent look to a development rather than sometimes having different signs, different users on a site. So the benefits to the public, we talked about the benefits to the businesses, well, the benefits to the public with the new language would require sign-based landscaping. We don't have that now. This would actually beautify the area a little bit more. We're providing more regulations for feather signs, the maximum number that you can have on the site. We're improving safety for the cold air inflatable signs. Our little friend over there, blowout sale. What happens is we don't have specific regulations on location of these signs that are not near high wires, electric wires, junction boxes, transformers, which can be dangerous. So now we are adding more regulations in that regard. New sign illumination regulations, how far a lit sign standard can be from a sign. And then we increase the density of sign locations from adjacent residential properties. Right now, a sign can be 5 feet away from a property, adjacent property line. If it's next to a residential land use, it now has to be 10 feet. So chapter six, what came up in that discussion had to deal with yard signs, and I'll show you images of yard signs in a moment. But the current regulations, we don't have a lot of regulations that limit the number of signs. We don't have any that limit the number of signs that these signs would include. You can have a real estate sign. You can have a warning sign, like a no trespassing sign, four square feet or less, garage sale sign, political sign. Because we have to remain content neutral, the UDO is now drafting language that says you can have a 32 square foot sign on parcels that have frontage along the major arterial, 16 square feet for other parcels, maximum 4 feet. You can only have a maximum of 2 signs, except during an election period where you can have unlimited signs. Gets a little in the weeds there. So the UDO Advisory Committee tried to streamline that a little bit with their recommendation and just said 32 square feet on all parcels, max 4 feet, no maximum number of yard signs. Well, when the Planning and Zoning Commission reviewed this, they said, you know what, we want to go back to kind of how we do it now and just do not regulate yard signs at all. So that's the recommendation from the Planning and Zoning Committee. And that will require some input from City Council. This is what a yard sign is. I kind of gave you a list of kind of what yard signs. These are the ones that are stick in the ground. You can take them up at any point. And these are kind of what would fit into that regulation. So you've got the birthday signs. You've got the graduation signs, for sale signs. So these are the types of signs that will be regulated under that provision. And then finally, chapter seven, we had two items that came up for discussion. The first one was called a connectivity index calculator. Next slide, I'll go into that a little bit more. UDO drafted to have a connectivity index calculator. UDO Advisory Committee said, nope, we don't want that. Planning and Zoning Committee also agreed that they do not want that. We do not have any current regulations that talk about connectivity calculations. And then the second recommendation had to do with cluster development. Currently, there's no specific regulations for cluster development. They will probably be approved, or most likely be approved as part of the PUD development. UDO is drafting that they would be approved through the PUD development, but providing specific criteria. UDO Advisory Committee said, no, nope, they should be permitted outright. And Zoning Committee said, I think I agree with the draft UDO. It should be a PUD. So that's another decision for the City Council to make when they vote on this final document. And this is a connectivity index calculator. Basically says how many links, which are streets, how many nodes, which are connections, and that ratio should be at least 1 to 2. And this is what you normally would see in a subdivision. This is actually a good representation. Basically, we're just trying to ensure that blocks and intersection ratios are improved, better street layout, less cul-de-sacs. And then we talked about the cluster development. This is a little bit more larger image of what you saw. It's a density bonus for those developments that decide to cluster the residential land uses around an existing high quality natural feature or a feature that the city would like to see as preserved. And then we have criteria for that. And that is a deep dive of all of the 7 recommendations from the various committees that reviewed the UDO, and a little bit more information on EDUs and signage. If you have any questions, feel free to ask me, send me an email, or pull me aside if you see me at all.
Questions, comments for tonight? And again, we're not looking to decide anything on this specific presentation tonight, but if there's anything like clarified, anyone? Well, Christy, if they don't, I just want to, I'll wait till you sit down.
Sure.
On that last slide of the cluster developments, the PZC said?
PUD.
PUD.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the cluster development, just make it simple. If we have 10 acres, and our zoning allows 3 homes per acre, it would, if this were approved, this concept, it would allow 30 home sites, but they wouldn't all need to be 1/3 of an acre. They could be substantially smaller, create more open space, but overall density of that property would be the same.
Correct. Overall density, so the conventional is looking at gross density, where the conservation development looks at net density. So we would take out all those acres that have to do with environmental features, and then that's where you get the higher number of density because you're not counting the gross area, you're only counting the concentrated area.
So.
And you can get an additional unit as a bonus.
Okay. So the same density plus one, or is it plus one per acre?
It ends up being plus one per acre for each of the categories.
Okay.
Because it's a 30% bump, and so it ends up being one unit per acre for each of the residential categories.
So also along those lines, and I remember some of these concepts, but not well. I remember them from my county days. Again, theoretically, you have a 10-acre parcel, zoning allows 3 per acre, that'd be 30. So with this bonus, you're saying it would allow 4 per acre?
No, it would give you another unit.
30 plus one?
30 plus
one. So not 4 per acre, but okay. And then the next part of that question, 10 acres. Let's say 5 of those acres are unbuildable because they're swampland or something. Is that swampland, because it's unbuildable, is that pulled out and then you figure it based on the 5 acres, or would you still based on the 10
no,
acres?
No, it has to meet a criteria of a high quality environmental feature. So it could be a wild flower area, a forested area that you are maintaining. So it would have to meet one of the criteria of a high quality environmental feature
that you are saving. We did not include wet, like a detention pond as that, because that's created and you would have to have a detention facility anyway, but a wetland area would qualify.
So you could build, you could count unbuildable non-detention basin acreage in that calculation.
I don't like
a fen or a marshland.
I don't like that. I'm just telling you right up front. It's not a concept I understood. I'm not opposed necessarily to the smaller lots of the overall density, but I don't want somebody to be able to come in and say, oh, I got a piece of property that I can't build in 5 acres anyway because it's a high-quality fen. Can't build on it anyway. But now we're going to give them additional density for half that land? Uh-uh. That portion of it, I'll tell you right now, I won't support.
Christy, if we chose to make that a PUD or a city council approval process, would there still be guidelines within the code that would outline that prior to
the
submittal?
That's what we're recommending. Okay. We're recommending it as a PUD and with guidelines.
So we could include some of those?
Yeah.
Perfect.
That's what we're recommending. That is not outright.
Okay.
Yeah, but if it was outright, you'd want to make sure that that was explicitly listed in those guidelines.
It's listed in the guidelines.
Okay. Yeah, because I don't think there's somebody benefit for buying land they can't develop anyway and saying, well, let's give you more density.
But on that, you know, wetlands.
Follow the rules, please. Turn that mic on.
Wetlands are graded. You know, you've got low quality, you've got high quality. You know, so if it's a stipulated, you know, based on a quality basis, there are places where absolutely you want to preserve those wetlands. You don't want to just come in and convert them over to a combination wetland and stormwater facility. That's usually what ends up destroying those kind of things. But if it's truly a high quality, if it's a fen, something that's natural, if you buy an piece of property, it's 100 acres, but you've got a 5-acre piece and you're preserving it, well, that's a benefit to the natural environment. Why not incentivize that?
Well, we could require them to, we could require a developer to preserve that without giving them the bonus of the density. There's no reason we can't say, if you want to develop that in our town, you have to preserve that. We absolutely have that right. So why would you give them a bonus in the density other than you just want to get more homes?
Well, it's not necessarily more homes. I mean, as
well, higher density means more homes.
As Christy described it, it's one unit, which is a misunderstanding of what the, I believe, the committee had, which was an additional unit per acre on the density, not one unit. So if it's 3 units per acre, you get 4 units to the acre for those enhanced benefits of reducing the amount of development cost for the project, so you have less roads, less infrastructure, that kind of thing. It's, you know, the intent is to benefit the built environment by reducing what you're actually building, preserving those high quality standards, which is what was outlined here. So that's the whole point of this, is to try to benefit the community by enriching what we have as our natural environment.
I don't disagree. I think everyone here would say trying to preserve those natural areas is fantastic and should be a priority. I think the difference of opinion is, should we do that and say, oh, you can do that. Oh, because you're being so nice and preserving something you should preserve anyway, we'll give you more density. That just doesn't make a lot of sense to me, and I'm guessing doesn't make a lot of sense to the whole council.
I that is an assumption that I think you should leave for the council.
I'm just saying, I'm guessing.
So I think your opinion is great. I appreciate it.
This council, I question that, but that's okay.
This council should be allowed to make its own decisions without an interjection of any sort.
Oh, so I can't have any input on this?
No.
Okay.
You absolutely have your input. But the assumption that the council agrees with that, that is a blanket statement that should be allowed for us to make our decisions as we're discussing. This is just a discussion.
I agree.
And I think that's the way it should be. Not imposing somebody's, not saying, Joe, you need to, believe what I believe. We're going to disagree on things, absolutely.
Isn't that what we're doing here?
Absolutely.
So you're stating your opinion. I'm stating my opinion. My opinion is I'm guessing the majority of the city council agree with me. That's my opinion. I didn't say to hold them. I never knew about this till tonight, to be quite honest. I'm glad we're having this discussion, and I'm glad that the interpretation of the draft UDO coming forward was different than the one from your committee, because I think your committee had a bad idea. Any other questions or comments?
It's actually a staff idea initially.
Well, it's coming from the committees, which you told me, so I think it's a bad idea. And if it was a staff idea, I told them I disagree with it. That's fine. Do you have anything else you want to offer on this?
Not on this one particular, but
I do.
Maybe
it. Oh, you do? Yeah. Go ahead.
So, since it's a PUD, those two examples, the developer would have a choice, right? If we said, like, if the PUD process came and we said, no, we don't want the high dent, you know, the extra unit or whatever it was, do it the other way. They have a choice then to make. They can select which one they want to do, right?
Right, so.
And could they also be asked to, if they wanted to do the fen with the natural stuff, can they be asked to purchase more property to offset that at all or not?
I don't know if we could ask them to purchase more property.
Well, I'm just saying to make up for the, if you felt it was going to be too dense.
That proposal would take the vehicle of, your proposal is too dense, Mr. Developer. If there were more property associated with it, you know, then we might look on it favorably. So, I mean, you're not telling them to go out and buy it. And
right.
It's not a mandate, but that's the feedback.
And they could get, then if they really wanted to do that one where they're making it more dense, they could actually purchase a little more property and then spread that out a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not so bad.
Yeah.
Other questions or comments on this? Chris, you had some other stuff, right?
So one that I was thinking about, so looking back at the yard signs, this is just kind of a global thing.
The
so,
which signs?
Yard signs.
Oh, yard signs. I
just
did yard
signs.
Just in
general, we had our, the different levels of signage. So overall, there's been some confusion and complicating issues with this whole process because of how the UDO went through. This went to PZC, or actually at the time that it went to the public house, UDO didn't have one subsequent meeting. The recommendations of the UDO didn't actually get wrapped into the document. It was a separate document that was discussed at the PZC. So this has kind of gotten, I think, conflated with what the actual recommendation was from the UDO to the PCC and what's coming up with the council. So I kind of struggle with this because I know Christy tried to clarify based on those charts today of what entity recommended what. And there's actually some things that aren't jiving. I went back to the PCC information and went back to the UDO committee. Some of the information is just not jiving with what was presented, what was actually, recommended and voted on. So it's just kind of challenging me right now because of all the information and the different angles it's coming from towards the council. So, like the signage. The UDO wanted to pull back all the restrictions, eliminate those restrictions that we had on the signage, which is the same as what the UDO, or, I'm sorry, the PZC recommended. So I want to make sure that as we're going through these, we clarify what the recommendations really were from the two entities, so the council is aware of what we really had, because I think there is some confusion on what the intended UDO advisory committee's recommendation was versus what went to the PCC. And as it was stated, the council is going to vote on the PCC recommendation, not the UDO. So I want to clarify how that is being done, because that statement kind of bothered me, that the recommendation is that we're going to vote on the PCC recommendation, not the UDO.
So I understand, and I would agree, there's a lot of information, and who recommended what can be confusing. I would think on these issues, for example, the one we just had our discussion on, the bonus densities, whatever you want to call that, we're going to have a discussion as a council. The council is going to make a recommendation, and it may be entirely different from all those. So, Kwasi, I don't care on some of these. Now, when we get down to some of the ones that maybe there's less concern about, yeah, we want to have it accurate, what we're voting on. But in the end, I don't think the committee or the council is, and maybe I should ask everyone before I state this, because I'm surmising, but I don't think the council here really cares where the idea came from. We just want to have a discussion on the different points. And we're going to say, no different than we had the discussion on the higher density 2 months ago. Council wasn't in favor. Didn't matter where it came from, they weren't in favor. Maybe the council supports no regulations in signs. Maybe they support some regulations in signs. Again, it doesn't matter where it comes from. People are going to weigh in. And then Christie and Bart are going to take notes, and that's what we're going to wrap in. Because the final vote is going to be a melding of all different ideas. It's not going to be one idea. It's not going to be all my ideas. It's not going to be all your idea or Christie's or Bart's. It's going to be all of our ideas combined. So I don't think that matters so much, really, if we're going to have a discussion on a point. If there's points we're not having a discussion on, sure, it'd be nice to be clear. But these, we're going to discuss them. Other questions or comments?
In regards to the yard signs, really, Dallas, I'm not in favor of limiting it to two. I don't think it's really our position to be telling people what they want to display and what they don't want to display, as long as it's tactful, in my opinion. Anybody else feel about that?
How did that number come up?
There were a lot of discussions that were probably about 2-3 hour meetings, so it was from the various members of the UDO committee to max it at two. There was some discussion to not have a max, some I think it was a little bit higher than that, but they settled on two.
Yeah, we had gone back and forth on different regulations on how to or not regulate yard signs. And this, it was one of the most discussed parts of it, and honestly, to move something forward from the committee, that was the compromise that was made. However, once we had our final meeting, that was all pulled back. The majority changed. Instead of, you know, saying we want to have two signs year round, but you can have unlimited political signs, you know, this many days before and after. After we thought about that for a little while, the committee said it's just not feasible, not responsible, pull it all back and take all those restrictions out. So that's really what that was. That's, like she said, we had two meetings that were 3 hours to discuss that, and then that final one, we pulled that back and said, no, there's no need to have those types of restrictions. Let people put up signs that they want. And it's just, it's easier to have that as an equitable.
So the UDO committee said no limits on signs in the yard?
So their last meeting was stated, they said 32 square feet is the maximum size, 4 feet in height, and no maximum number of yard signs.
So no limit on the number, but there's a limit on the size?
Correct.
No.
Then,
so you could have three yard signs?
You could have 50 of them. Okay. At a maximum of 32 square feet.
Did we pull back the square footage, Dan?
I thought we pulled back everything.
Yeah. No square footage. No.
Okay. It says a regular number of signs of maximum yard signs may display concurrently. And it discusses about political 15 days, 60 days, but it doesn't clearly say a maximum of 2 yard signs may be displayed concurrently.
That's in the UDO document that's presented before you, but there were recommendations from the UDO committee after that, and there were recommendations from Planning and Zoning Committee. So Planning and Zoning Committee said no regulations at all on yard signs, and the UDO had revised their opinion at their August 31st meeting to say no maximum number of signs.
We'd be happy to reconcile that after the meeting, re-listen to it. Were there any other sections that you thought were in dispute based on the charts?
I'm just looking through the 7 points real quick here. The term family.
7 points. Well, light.
The term family, I know what the UDO committee said, keep the term family within the document. Planning Commission actually said to remove it. I think that it was intended for them to keep it, but that's something I'd have to go back and listen to that audio for that one.
Well, let me ask on that again. Does it matter? Just ask them what they think. Ask them what they think, because we're going to end up voting on what the council wants. I don't care either way, honestly.
I believe the minutes are in the packet too from PCC.
If it's a transcript, we would have that.
But Chris, here's what I like. I don't care whether the recommendation, any recommendation, came from the committee, came from staff, came from the PCC. We need to discuss them. I don't want to have a lot of staff time wasted on reconciling who said what. Just throw the damn idea out and discuss it. That's all I want to do. What do people think about family versus what was the other option?
Dwelling.
That's really the question. We're not going to answer it tonight, but that's what you need to decide.
Well, I get what you're saying. I get it. But like Craig said, Craig was just asking, you know, the packet says that this is what it is for signage. Well, you have to go then to the recommendations to find out what the current proposal is, because otherwise, how's he going to know what the recommendation is on it? He's just seeing a packet that's, you know, there have been several hours of time since that packet was prepared with the two different groups reviewing it. I mean, and that's...
I get it, but if there's a good idea that we like, I don't care who it comes from. Prove the idea. Other questions? I'm trying to respect staff's time on this and keep this moving forward in a productive way. We're going to be discussing this several more meetings, and I've told staff that. There's no way we're going to get this approved in two or three meetings, but I still want that time to be productive.
Yeah, go ahead. So as I'm looking through here, the cold air inflatables, it says allowed in all districts except for residential districts. So if somebody wanted to put one up for a birthday party, it would be not allowed.
What? Really?
The cold air inflatables, the large ones?
Big floppy guy.
Yeah.
If it's in the yard, we're not regulating, the recommendation is not to regulate yard signs. Regulated, but it's not in the UDO, it's not permitted in residential districts.
So that was in the draft document that both committees had reviewed and have been to the public open house.
Yep.
So that's another example. If we think that should be taken out, we need direction to be able to provide a final document for you to then vote on at a later date.
Sounds to me, it looks like we're being like a totalitarian state where we're just directing people. Can't do this, can't do that.
Well, what about then if you've got inflatable houses in the front?
That's not a sign. Inflatable bounce house, that's not.
Even though it has the company's name and stuff for renting it?
That's not what we're regulating. It's just the tall, inflatable.
Do you want to regulate that?
No.
No, okay. Again, it's not an issue. We won't.
Well, I just kind of get an idea of what the difference was if for like a birthday party. There was this one in my neighborhood just recently. The whole driveway was full of this thing. I think it's fine. But then, if you were to put up a wavy thing, it would be a problem. Instead of that?
Do you want to regulate the wavy things?
No, I'm not.
I'm asking what do you want.
It's going to be up.
You want to regulate those are things we have. Again, we're not going to drive around tonight. But that's my point. I think, Christy, what we're going to need to do, and Bart, we got to think about this a little bit in the next couple of days. Each of these, let's make it. Maybe a bullet point. Do you want to regulate this, yes or no? Bullet point. Have people give their input on it. That's the only way we're going to do this. Because if you're going to go through the minutes to see who did what and who did what, we're still going to be discussing all those things, point by point. That's the only way we're going to get through some of these things. Some of these are going to be indifferent. But I think we got to really think about that. Because we're going to have this discussion. I like inflatables. I don't like inflatables. Well, who says they should be regulated? Who says they shouldn't be regulated? Who really cares who thinks they should be until the eight of you go to vote? Well, seven of you tonight until the eight of you, hopefully, when we vote on this. So, other questions or comments? Christy, you had some other sections you want to talk about. Not tonight, though, right?
Not really. But
oh, okay. You might have to. Okay. I thought there was another presentation you had. So.
Mr. Mayor, the recommendations are just that, recommendations.
Yeah,
none of us are bound to follow the recommendations of either the UDO committee or the PZC committee.
Correct.
They're recommendations.
Yeah, so we're going to discuss as a group and vote on it.
We're bickering about where the recommendations came from, but at the end of the day, it's just a recommendation.
Right?
And
yes.
We're all going to have to decide
point
as
by point.
A deliberative body on what to do.
Yep.
Regardless of the recommendations.
Yeah, it doesn't matter where they came from. It's just a recommendation. The recommendation committees. I personally don't weigh one more than I weigh the other, so I don't care who said what.
Other comments, questions?
So just buttoning up the conversation, the slides that were in the presentation, which we will distribute, have different city council decision question mark prompts on them. Those are the current known discrepancies between the different recommendations that the various groups have provided and the draft document, which was created first, and then those groups reviewed. So we would expect that you would provide direction on each one of those. That way we can incorporate it into a final document for you to vote on at a later date. So if there's anything else that as you're reading the draft document or the recommendations that you think should be discussed and highlighted and we should have a presentation on, it'd be helpful to know. That way we can prepare those materials. Wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man being one of them. And then we can put that in there and have that conversation about whether that should be allowed or not. Because as drafted, that example specifically, not allowed in residential. And if everybody, 5 out of 8 of you, agree that they should be allowed, then we just need to make a note of that, and then we'll incorporate that into a final document at a later date. So those checklists are there in some form via the slide, and we'll do our best to consolidate them for the next meeting.
Perfect.
Oh, and I have one clarification.
Absolutely.
The way that it's written in the ordinance is one additional dwelling unit per acre. So it's not just one. As staff had understood it when we drafted it, it's written to say one additional unit per dwelling.
Well, I appreciate the clarification. I will say this. I still don't like it. If that's in there, I will not support it. We don't need to support higher density than we have now. I think what we have now is fine. And people come to this town for that reason, because the density is fine. So, go ahead.
Mark, so the only things that we have to figure out is what's there tonight, or was there something from the last meeting that I missed?
Only what's listed on that chart tonight.
Okay.
So those are, aside from the tube man, inflatable tube man, everything else is in congruence in the final document, what the UDO committee and the PVC had reviewed.
Other questions? Christy, anything else? Excellent. Good. Well, good discussion again. Imagine trying to do this in one meeting. Dan, Chris, should we do another like 4-hour meeting on this?
Let's plan a special meeting to do it.
Another
day after Thanksgiving.
Goal setting meeting.
Yeah. We'll have a special UDO brawl, knockdown brawl session.
I like that.
Doors.
That's it.
Okay. Bart, anything on building updates?
Just I would anticipate after the goal setting session here in a couple weeks that we would bring forward a public works facility discussion, either November or December. Mayor and staff are going to be meeting with the architect just for a general construction cost updates. On the public works facility, and then post-meeting, hopefully we'll have a little bit of a action plan to bring to you to review at an upcoming committee meeting.
Excellent. Questions on that? Water update?
Just that I'm pleased to announce that we got our positive hearing recommendation, a hearing officer recommendation on our Lake Michigan water supply permit. I got that late last week, so now we are one step closer to getting an actual approved allocation for Lake Michigan water. The next step in that is that the IDNR executive director has to either confirm the hearing officer's recommendation or deny it within 90 days. So I'm hoping that by the end of the calendar year or thereabouts, we're gonna have formal approval from IDNR to tap into Lake Michigan water. So significant milestone.
Excellent.
How are the other towns, Montgomery and Oswego, are they in the same kind of schedule we are?
We are the last in the three towns with the hearing timing worked. Oswego, I believe, just got their approval in full, and Montgomery, I think, has already gotten a hearing officer order, so we'll be last in line.
Other questions on that? Additional business? Citizen counts?
Yeah.
Thank you. Please, state your name.
Hi, I'm Molly Kremsky, and I just want to say that I really do believe that it does matter what the recommendations were and where they came from. I was at every single one of the committee meetings. Chris was at every single one of the committee meetings. So we know that there's some information that is omitted from the recommendations packet. there are some things that are not accurate in that. And I'm not exactly sure what's going on, but this is not about saving staff's time. Staff still needs to report accurately a summary of what each committee recommended. It wouldn't take them any more time to do that accurately than it would to do it inaccurately. So I'd just like to say that I think it's a real waste of everyone's time and energy if we're not to come to these meetings and pretend to go through the process if we're not actually going to bring the pertinent information to the board so that they can make an informed decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Great point. And on that note, we will be having no more UDO committees. So I just have made that decision. Do you have something there, Michael?
Yep.
Thank you.
So,
Michael Kremsky, right?
Michael Kremsky, yes.
Thank you.
What was brought up tonight, so what was recommended eventually was that all the yard signs were removed, the restrictions were removed. And it was a process that went through those committees and then the commission, which I think you need to take into account because a lot of time and energy was spent on those. What's the point of having the commission or the committees if you're just not going to pay attention to anything they did? It's a waste of our money, okay? It's a waste of the taxpayers' money, the people's money. And then also about the single family or single unit, both the commission and the committee both recommended that single family be left in. And I think that's important that you take that into account and that it's clearly articulated in your packet. So when you come to discuss it, you understand the long conversations that occurred during that process. So as the alderman, as the city council here, I would just ask that you look at those recommendations among looking at the Constitution when you decide on those things. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? We will not have an executive session tonight. We may have one in the next couple meetings, unless anyone wants to have one. 807, is there a motion to adjourn? Sullen, second by
Luke. Yes.
Plocher, all in favor?
Yes.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.